it's time for another edition of Bikescape Radio. New podcast, session number 3, starting to get to know all you people out there, in my mind at least. This one I feel a little odd about putting out up on the net because it's a little disjointed. I got my new iRiver and I put it in my cell phone bag, on my messenger bag today, and so it was right next to my mouth, and I got up this morning and I rode to work and I just spoke stream of consciousness. So it may sound like nonsense to you, and I'm not sure, I think I said some good stuff, but it's just a little, you know how it is when you're on a bike and you're riding and talking, and it's what I want to do. I want to sort of get the podcast out on the streets and not here in my bedroom. So I'm going to give it a try, and I'd like to hear from people. Let me know what you think about this, and if you think I should stop doing it this way, or if it's just too boring. So I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm full of shit, you know, and I just talk my head off, and who knows what I'm talking about, and, you know, it's just my opinion. It's just me. But anyway, I'm going to play you this little thing here, and let's listen to some of this music for a little while. Just a little bit more. Well, hi there, everybody. It's just about 5 a.m. I'm just pushing off from my home on my bike on my way to work in San Francisco, California. Not quite sure what that sound is. I'm gonna stop and pull over. Well, folks, interesting start to the day. It's totally quiet out here. Just pushing off from work, as I said, in the Glen Park or Sunnyside neighborhood of San Francisco. Notice though, I got one of those cool handlebar, bar end blinky lights that look so cool, but they're actually crap, you know, you don't buy them. That's my advice. They break really easily and they rattle around in your handlebars. The batteries fall out and it sucks, so I just pulled it out just now because it was making this. I like a really silent bike. I like my bike real quiet. Can you hear it? No, you can't because it's a fixie. It's got, all you can hear is the tires. The chain is nicely lubed up, just the right tension. Anyway, I'm on my way to work.
I live in a quiet neighborhood of San Francisco. You may know Glen Park by the BART stop, the BART train stops, but I'm a little further out than that even. Totally uncool neighborhood. You can't see the Golden Gate Bridge. You can't, you're not in the Mission with the cool cafes and hipsters. Just families, people living in houses, very closely packed houses, but houses still, you know. Some are even separated by a little space. Anyway, thought I'd try and do this. I don't know, the conversation might be a little bit disjointed, stream of consciousness, but that's the way, that's kind of the way you think on a bike. I like to think I do my best thinking on my bike, but anyway, I'll probably go off on tangents. But I'm going to try and do a sort of a trip through the city anyway. So I'm on my way to Berkeley. That's where I work. The way I get there is I could get on the BART at Glen Park, about a 10-minute ride from home, but I try to leave a little earlier. And I've only done that twice in my job. I've had my job for like 2 years now out in Berkeley. And I usually go downtown, catch the bus there, catch the train there, ride over to Berkeley, and then ride over to my work from there. There's actually one car out here on Monterey Boulevard. I keep catching up to him at the red lights. So, corner of Monterey, right where the freeway is. I always have an interesting time negotiating the red light there. There's just no way you want to stop at that light. You know, you just don't. It's going downhill, especially if you're on a fixie. You don't want to go through the hassle of stopping. So after a while, if you live in the neighborhood, hope you don't hear too much wind. This is top speed here right now. If you live in the neighborhood, you know the traffic sequence, and hopefully they won't change it on you overnight. But at 5 in the morning, you get to learn it if you do it every day. So there's like three phases to this intersection, and I have a way of scooting through on each phase. I slow down, I yield to traffic. My basic rule of thumb, that's not even a rule of thumb, it's the creed that I live by, is that don't ever take anybody else's right of way. Just don't do that, and you're okay. That's the way I feel about it. And it makes sense to me. I've never hurt anybody. I got hurt myself once by a cab driver. I was crossing the intersection at the yellow light. And he made a left turn right into me from the other direction. We were eye to eye. We saw each other. He thought I was going to stop. I was asserting my right of way. And legally, I was right. Dead right, as they say. You know, I was the one who got the broken collarbone. But I was also the one who got the $35,000 judgment against yellow cab, so probably the only kind of penalty they had. I don't think maybe the guy got a ticket. The cop made him sit on the ground. That was kind of humiliating for him. I actually felt sorry for him. He was an Indian, Pakistan, I'm not sure what he was. Yeah, he was an Indian, but he was foreign. Taxi driver not being treated well by the cops, which always bums me out. Even though I wasn't angry with him. I just thought, you know, you should not be on the road. So there was a good article in the paper here in San Francisco. While I was down in LA, somebody stuffed it in my box at work. Thought I'd be interested in it. It's called Mission Not Impossible. At first I thought it was a takeoff on the Mission neighborhood, but it's not. And it was basically a pretty good article, just because it advocated getting out on your bike. You know, it's like you're driving to work every day and you see that it just looks so, you'd like to ride your bike, but it just looks so dangerous, you know. But really, you can overcome the danger by good planning. Wear a helmet, obey the rules, get to know your route, get to know every last little bump in the road before you really ride it seriously. And then, you know, assert your rights, be a vehicular cyclist, and obey all the laws. And it also said, The article also promoted that you obey all the laws and you act as a bicycle ambassador. And it didn't really define exactly what a bicycle ambassador was, only it implied that you represent all bicyclists, I think. Paul, the guy that wrote the article, tell me if I'm wrong, but that's what I think you were saying. I'm going to give Paul a chance to respond to this if he wants. He wrote me a nice letter, by the way, which I'll get to in a minute. Hope you can hear me. I'm going down a huge hill, going down the San Jose Hill down into the mission here. And there's a red light, so I'm going to stop talking and pay attention. This is like during the day, this is pretty in-your-face driving. There'll be another show about this street, actually. Talk about it. San Jose changes that are coming. San Jose Avenue. Anyway, so he says you're supposed to be a bicycle ambassador. You should obey the rules because those drivers will get steamed. They'll get angry watching you break the law and with impunity because you're a cyclist and the cops can't catch you. They'll get angry and they'll take it out on the next cyclist. Or they might take it out on you on your way home. Or they might take it out on you on your way home. And I'm saying, like, shit, this guy, excuse my language, but this guy parks on my sidewalk every day. Walks the sidewalk. It's illegal. It's a $100 fine nowadays. The fine went up. Do I get to tar all drivers with that same feather? Because this one driver parked on my sidewalk? I mean, this is just basic hypocrisy. That's not a good word. Since I'm going to be debating you, Paul, I'm going to try and be fair. It wasn't hypocritical, but it was just it didn't make it in my book. It's just pure, it's prejudice. I think you need to open it, raise your consciousness a little bit about thing. If you replace bicycle and car with, black and white or Jewish and Christian or whatever, you'd see that what I'm saying. And it's something we're all guilty of, we all have to learn how to deal with our prejudices. Another subject. Anyway, so I wrote him a letter about that. Didn't talk too much about, whether I said I run red lights safely, I treat them as a yield, which is legal in some states. More or less. I think you're supposed to stop at red lights and then go after the coast is clear in states like Idaho. Or maybe it's just Idaho, I don't know. But I digress. So I wrote him a letter about that. It's just at work. I stole a minute or two to do it during my lunch break. And he wrote back to me saying, there's more to be, I haven't got it in front of me. I'm on my bike, so I'll have to tell you from memory. Again, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong. But he said there's more to it than just being a bicycle ambassador is more than being responsible for the faults of others. He said it's separate. At its core, I think he said that it was about finding the virtue within oneself. Yellow light. Here's a yellow light. No cars anywhere. And I'm going to go. It just turned red. There's a car coming about a block ahead of me. I'm not going to sit here and wait for the red light. Well, then again, there's no cars around to see me, so it doesn't really... I'd still be a good bicycle ambassador if I ran this red light with no cars. I mean, did a bicyclist really run a red light if there were no cars to see them? I'm getting all worked up here. Being opinionated. So, he said, this is what he said, basically, that, you just have to be good. And when you're good and courteous and nice to everybody, the wheel will come around. You'll be acting independently, finding the virtue within. And just as icing on the cake, the world will treat you better as a result. Which is, I stopped and I thought, well, I can't argue with that, but I don't think the occasional running of a red light, or even the continual running of a red light, obeying the laws of traffic rather than the traffic laws is really, I think that's true virtue. I obey the laws of traffic, not the traffic laws. I will not take your right of way. If I do, it'll be a mistake. I'll apologize, I'll take responsibility. And I rarely do. I think I do it less than most people do, most drivers do. So that's my virtue that I'm proud of. I don't dwell on how virtuous I am, but that's how I feel about it. So I think, you know, basically over the long term, I'm definitely influencing the place for the better, even though I do break some laws. And even though I do yell at drivers sometimes, I don't key cars or anything like that. Well, I have in the past. I'll admit it, I have, but I don't do it anymore. I don't let my emotions get away with me like that anymore. And I, you know, what can I say? I'm 46. I've learned a few things about being virtuous and being in the world. And I try to stick to it. Valencia Street. Riding the Valencia Street bike lane here. We'll have to do an interview with Mary Brown one of these days. She led the campaign to put this bike lane in here. So Lars, if you're listening, Lars is the guy I interviewed last week. Oh, there's some loud mouths on the street tonight, this morning. So Lars, you were talking about how you made allusions that you don't like bike lanes. That you sort of come from the John Forrester school of, do a search for John Forrester, folks, if you don't know who he is. School of vehicular cycling. And there are a bunch of people, like, you know, out there who don't believe in bike lanes. And I'm a believer for the most part. It has to be done right, though. Here in San Francisco, we've done a few things right over the years due to, mainly from pressure from below, from bike activists. God, there's so much glass this morning. The weather's getting nicer. We're breaking glass out on the street. Now here I'm going to stop for the red. I want to take this guy's right of way. So what happened on Valencia Street was we took away a lane of traffic. It was a four-lane road with parking on both sides. It was all just painted stripes. And all we did was change the way the stripes are painted. We got rid of one lane of car traffic and added a lane of predominantly bike traffic. And we put a big suicide lane down the middle. We call it a left turn. It's like a painted island, painted median down the middle of the road. So you can make left turns into driveways, and there's actual left turn pockets at the intersections where you can take a left turn. So what happened was we actually reduced the amount of space on the street allocated to cars. And we actually allocated a little bit of space to bikes. Although in reality, just like with the red lights, there's laws that cars always break that just ruin it for me. When you're talking about drivers, I just hate drivers, you know, I'm just kidding. Because it's just a few people that are always parking in the bike lane, they just tar the image of all the other drivers. So you've actually, you know, I understand the John Forrester folks. I shouldn't call them John Forrester folks. It's not really what they are. The vehicularists come in all shapes and sizes. Because a badly done bike lane is basically just a gutter. You're sitting there, like in Oakland, Emeryville. I'd rather just be in the middle of the road than in a bike lane. And this time of day, on Valencia Street, I ride in the middle of the road too. And sometimes I ride down the middle of the median. The road could be in better repair, especially around the edges. Anyway, that's my rant for the day.
Okay, so we're back. Back in my bedroom again. It's late at night. It's been a long day of work and went and saw my kid perform over at school. He's in kindergarten. It's very cute. So I'm in a totally different state of mind, and I'm going to go ahead and put this podcast up. So I want to let you know about stuff that's happening Friday, tomorrow, or maybe today. Maybe it's too late by the time you're listening to this, but it's the last Friday of the month, and that means Critical Mass. So if you're in San Francisco or any one of 200 other cities around the world, go down to where Critical Mass starts. Go take a look at, if you've never been, go take a look at criticalmass.org. I think it's critical-mass.org. And find out what's happening in your city. And but here in San Francisco, it starts over at Justin Herman Plaza, 6 o'clock. We're going to go down and do that, and then my wife Karen and I are going to go down, and then we're going to the movies. We got a babysitter. We're going to go to the movies. We're going to go see a movie called The Take over at the Red Victorian. So I suggest anybody who... the movie starts at 9:15, so... If you live here in San Francisco, take a look at that movie. It's about a bunch of workers taking over a factory down in Argentina. So I think you'll find it pretty interesting. So Critical Mass tomorrow night. We're going to try covering that. I'm going to try covering that and bring it to you so we can listen to it together and talk about it. I'm going to try and get some interviews with people on their bikes and see how that works out. And I'll talk to you very soon in that case. Ciao, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay, and by the way, am I recording? Yes. By the way, I wanted to let you know that I appreciate email, and I want to give you the email address. It's Bikescape. I had to think about that. Bikescape@sbcglobal.net. And you can also leave comments on the blog over at bikescape.blogspot.net. Okay, see you all later. Bye.